So, you know, last week when you put the like sleigh bells over the top of the
And the big old church bell.
Are we doing? Is that happening this week?
Well, no, it's not Christmas anymore, is it?
Ah. It's 2018.
I was trying to sing Happy New Year song.
Do you know the words for Auld Lang Syne?
May old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to.
You're further ahead than me.
Mind.
Be forgot. I get to that.
May old acquaintance be forgot and never brought. It's a bit harsh, really. So remember everyone that you knew and quite liked last year? Fuck them.
No, get rid of them. Don't need them. How was your Christmas and New Year and all that kind of stuff?
It was nice. It was nice. We go down to the other half's family in Devon.
Lovely.
Devonshire?
Yeah, okay.
I don't think it is Devonshire.
It didn't sound right at all.
It's just Devon, isn't it?
Okay, fine.
Devon
we'll
is
go
the county.
It.
Cornwallshire.
Devonshire.
We go to Devon.
Lovely.
And it's nice. It's all the family congregate, so the actual day is quite taxing.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Shall we say?
Yeah, fine.
But it was nice. Cool. And then New Year was nice and quiet, so that was good. I needed a chill after the child
after all
heavy
the mince, all the mince pies that you ate.
All the mince pies.
Yeah.
There was one point on, I think, the 27th of December where we were buffeting.
Yeah. Buffeting?
Yeah, it's not buffeting, is it?
Well, I'm not sure if that's just a word.
Buffering.
Right.
We were buffeting. And
eating.
And I looked down at my plate. And the most colourful thing on the plate was duck liver pate.
Cool.
And at that point, I thought, right, I need to.
There's a lot of beige on this plate.
I need to get over Christmas now because I had a white roll with, you know, with turkey stuffing. So brown, basically.
Yeah.
You know, sausage roll, brown. You know, chipolatas, brown. Pigs in blankets, old. Therefore, now brown. And I sat there, I thought, this is...
You didn't have any cheese and pineapple sticks?
Diabolical. No, there was probably a lot of cheese. I seem to remember eating a lot of cheese with ginger in this Christmas.
Ginger?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, it was such a beige day. There was that point, it was mid-afternoon on the 27th, I thought, you should be fucking ashamed of yourself. This is horrible.
It's pretty poor, isn't it?
Yeah, so I feel really unhealthy, but otherwise I'm great. Good start to the year.
Good. Mine was fine too. Thanks for asking.
I was about to ask.
Well, you know, you weren't quick enough. But that wasn't really what I wanted to talk to you about
as an
open. But, you know, we're going through with it now. But how do you feel about the New Year sales?
I don't know how I feel about them.
I know how I feel.
I bet you hate them, don't
it's
you?
It's fucking shit. It is terrible. I cannot stand it. Like...
Did not go to Next on Boxing Morning.
No, I'd rather chop my bollocks off. I really would. Like, how would I? You know, sometimes you say those kind of things. Say, I'd rather do this, and you think, actually, let's really think about it.
I know it's only, I know it's Christmas Day, but tomorrow, do you fancy getting up at 5 o'clock and going to Next?
I probably need some furnishings. Okay, you've hit the nail on the head with what it pisses me off is the word need.
Yeah,
and the fact that. If you go into a sale for the sake of it being a sale, you don't fucking need it.
It's literally been Christmas.
You're not. All right, your phone's going off.
Apologies.
All right, who's that?
Apologies.
Who's calling? Share with the group.
Apologies.
Fine.
You don't need it.
So, second, like, what's that about? I'm not happy with it. And it's this kind of thing where, like, if you go to a supermarket, and you want to buy a bottle of water. Let's say the bottle of water is £1.50.
Yeah.
But you could buy two bottles of water for £2.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, I can save some money there. You're not fucking saving money if you only wanted one bottle of water. You spent an extra 50p on something you didn't need.
That is the man stereotype, isn't it? It's like, what if you bought these 10 cuddly Tiger Woods
toys?
They're on offer.
Yeah. Buy one, get one free, so I bought 10.
Not only do we not need them, not only have you never ever said you wanted a cuddly Tiger Woods, you've now bought things that we're not going to be able to get rid of. They're on offer because no fucker wants them.
Is the cuddly Tiger Woods actually a cuddly tiger in a golf suit? Because I think that's quite a punny, funny
joke.
That'd
be good, actually.
It would be pretty good.
Yeah, I'd probably buy that. But yeah, things that are on offer that you just buy because they're on offer. It's like, well, you've actually just spent a tenner that you wouldn't have spent.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But yeah, the January sales, I'm not dead against them because there is stuff that we need now and we kind of said... should we wait for it to be cheaper in January?
Well, yeah, well, that's my point. So that's
going
fine.
On Boxing
I can
Day
live with that.
To a fucking sale that the day after you've just been given a shitload of presents, I would assume.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Someone spent a month asking
at
you,
its finest.
What is it you need? Is there anything you want? I don't know what to get you for Christmas. You tell them shit you need and want, and then suddenly on Boxing Morning, you're like, oh, we also need a load of other things because they're £10 cheaper.
Did you get new socks for Christmas?
Yeah, loads. It was good.
Cool.
In fact, this podcast, not this one, the previous
podcast
actually enhanced my
did it really?
Sock. My sock intake.
The last week's podcast. Should apologise. We've had a couple of weeks off. You try doing a fucking podcast every week. It's a fucking pain in the ass.
Yeah,
I know I said every. I meant every. We've had a liquid lunch before this. So I'm all over the place again. Don't worry about it. The last podcast that we did, I had more comments about your socks than fucking any other podcast we've done.
Really?
Yeah. People were upset and outraged at your sock problem.
I mean, there's bigger problems in the world, isn't there?
Yeah.
It really is.
And you know what? That's a good seg. What are we doing here? My name's Ollie, your name's Elliot, and we're doing Wax Lyrical, a podcast in which we take uber-successful songs and dissect their awful, awful lyrics. How do you feel about that?
Good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. What have you been listening to in this festive period?
It's difficult to pin it down, because obviously I haven't been listening to Christmas songs, but they've been on.
Okay, well, shall I start? Because I've got something prepared for the podcast.
I've been listening to kids screaming a lot.
Nice.
And not really much music. I'm listening to a very festive audiobook called The Holocaust, A New History.
A new history?
Yeah.
Is this like an alternative fact history?
No, it's just the
like
guy...
it didn't happen.
The guy has been studying it basically since it happened, and there's a lot of myth busting in it, and it definitely happened.
Yeah, he's come to the conclusion
and
that
it seems to be worse than it ever was.
Pretty bad that.
But I just thought that was cheery for the festive season. I thought I'll get something light-eyed, you know, bring up the mood a touch.
Mm.
So the Holocaust, A New History. That's what I've been listening to.
Lovely.
What about you?
One of the first ever bands I went to see live is Newfound Glory, because I'm a little pop punk bitch, and. Yeah, that'll do. And their first support when I first went to see them was a band called Reggie and the Full Effect.
Oh yeah, I remember them.
Aware of them? Yeah, it's a guy called James Deweese who's kind of his own kind of stuff, but he gets banned.
No one called Reggie in the band.
No one called Reggie. No,
it's annoying,
his name's James. Yeah,
it's annoying.
Yeah, well, you know, he's got a new song out and a new album out in February. So I've been listening to a lot of him. I've been a throwback. Well, that made me feel like I'm like 13, 14 again, listening to old poppy punky Reggie and the Full Effect.
You were listening to the Matches next, or? RX Bandits.
Well, you know.
Or...
probably not.
Homegrown.
Millencolin. How's that?
Or... I can't think of any more late 90s.
Cool. Alistair.
Alistair, bloody hell.
There you go. See ya.
Cool.
That was a smooth seg into this next part, wasn't it? So, what are we doing this week? For this week, we're taking on Shania Twain's That Don't Impress Me Much. What do you know about Shania Twain? Anything? She was born Eileen Regina Edwards in Windsor, Ontario. Eileen Regina Edwards, Windsor, Ontario. So she's another Canadian that way. So the only other female that we've done in the podcast so far is Alanis Morissette. We haven't got anything about female Canadians, but, you know...
Although everyone else seems to, because they're the fucking successful ones.
True.
I'm sure we'll probably end up doing Avril at some point as well.
Oh, God, yeah, we probably will have to do that.
Levine.
So she was born August 28th, 1965. Her
bloody
mother...
hell, is she 52?
Yeah, she's up there.
53 this year.
I know.
2018.
That's how... quick maths. Her mother remarried to... Oh, there you go, that's... of the era joke. Her mother remarried... as she was growing up to a chap called Jerry Twain, which is where Twain came from. So Jerry Twain adopted, and that's where the change of name came from. So she was Eileen Twain.
That's a terrible name, isn't it?
Eileen Twain.
Eileen Regina Twain.
Yeah, it's not ideal, is it? Come on, Eileen. Dirty. So as she was growing up, her parents didn't earn very much money, so she didn't have a lot growing up, even to the point where food was... kind of often scarce in the house as well. Kind of scarce in the house as well.
How many beers you had?
I've only had one. And it's been the festive period, so you'd expect that I'd grown a tolerance, but I haven't drank this much this Christmas period.
Well, you can't speak now, so.
when Shania was going to school, she didn't tell anyone at school or the authorities that, you know, she was poor or didn't have much house because she was feared that they might break up the family.
Sorry, didn't have much house.
Is that what I said? Jesus. I know we've had a couple of weeks off, haven't we? I know we've had a couple of weeks off.
Is that
off,
a practice for talking?
There's going to be some real edits in this one, isn't there? So at the age of 8, to try and help pay for her family bills, she started singing at bars.
Oh, good. I honestly thought that was going to go super dark.
Oh, no, it was going to go that bad.
So at the age of 8, she ended up on street corners.
No, only singing in bars. She's a singer.
Selling her body.
She's a singer. But she'd earn about $20 an evening. So not a great amount.
Well, it's better than most bands I've ever been in.
There you go.
It cost us more than that.
Get to Canada. When she was 13, she was invited to perform on a CBC television show called The Tommy Hunter Show, which was like a Canadian country music show,
right?
I guess. And Tommy Hunter is apparently known as Canada's country gentleman. What's your favourite Tommy Hunter song? Brilliant. She graduated high school in 1983 and she started getting involved in cover bands and started touring the Ontario Canadian kind of area. And in the autumn of 1984, her talents were noticed by a Toronto DJ called Stan Campbell.
Oh, Stanley.
Oh, Stan. You know Stan?
I know Stan.
Fan of Stan? Stan fan?
SC.
So, yeah. So, eventually he took her down to Nashville to record some demos, which obviously she found quite difficult to finance. So, I don't know how many...
What, he made her pay for it?
Oh, yeah. Nice of him, isn't it?
Nice guy. She didn't have much house. He should have known that.
I've got in my notes here, like, okay, all of the songs that we've done so far have been by people that kind of one-hit wonder and not very much information.
Yeah.
So the notes that I have for Lou Bega is much shorter than the information I've got on Shania Twain.
Fine.
So in my notes here in capitals, I've got loads of information is omitted. She met shitloads of people in country music.
Yeah.
So I'm skipping a chunk because this is going to be a fucking 4-hour podcast.
Yeah, we're trying to get to a particular song.
Yeah.
Fine.
So essentially, all you need to know is all she wanted to do in this period was she wanted to get involved in rock and pop, and all of the people around her were like, no, country, country's good, because they were all country musicians, right?
Yeah.
A bit of a turn happened, so November 1st, 1987, her mother and stepfather died in a car accident.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Pretty rough. So as a result, she moved back to her kind of hometown to take care of her younger siblings and supported them by earning money performing at the nearby Deerhurst Resort, which is a hotel.
Okay.
So a bit of a dark turn, really.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that even though a bit of a catastrophe has happened, she's still relying on her singing to pay for things.
Yeah.
I found that quite interesting because I imagine a lot of people
could just go and get a, you know, waitressing job or whatever's going. I think in that situation, you'd clean arses, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, you'd do anything, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So anyway, during this time, she changed her name to Shania. Now, the name Shania came from her stepfather was an, I'm going to pronounce this completely wrong, Ojibwa? O-J-I-B-W-A, which is, effectively, it's like an indigenous peoples of North America.
Oh, okay.
Now, her explanation was she's changed her name to Shania, which was an Ojibwa word, which means on my way.
Yeah.
However, Shania Twain's biographer, a guy called Robin Egger, wrote, and I quote...
Old Egger.
There's a continuing confusion about what Shania means, and if it is indeed an Ojibwe word or phrase at all. There is no mispronounced or misheard phrase in either Ojibwe or Cree that comes close to meaning on my way, yet the legend of her name continues to be repeated to the media to this day. So she's basically gone, it means this, and he's gone, nope, that's not even, so not even just, if you were saying it wrong.
So she just fucking lied then?
She's on the blag.
I mean,
it's more exciting to say it's come from some sort of past than just saying, oh, I like that
name. Picked a name.
I'd like that name.
Yeah, but it's now like he's now debunked that.
True.
Was he like an official biographer? But did she know him, or was he just being a dick and was like, oh, she's wrong there?
I mean, a biographer's a biographer, right? I mean, like, if he's a guy that's looked into trying to find the word Shania, I feel like he's invested.
Fair enough.
So Shania's first album came out in 1993. It was a self-titled album, and it was the first kind of thing that got her audiences outside of Canada. It reached the high number of number 67 on the US country albums chart, but got pretty good reviews from critics. The interesting thing about this album is that her future successes with the following albums actually made that original album sell up to a million. And it's certified platinum 6 years after it was actually released.
That's great. That's good. That's they had the foresight to print enough copies, I guess.
They've just been in someone's loft. Yeah. Fucking ages.
Somebody bought a million.
Someone's going to buy them one day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, have you got that? Have you got like a storage somewhere with like shitloads of old band t-shirts?
I've got loads of CDs in the cellar.
I've got all sorts.
Loads of CDs in the cellar.
It's depressing, isn't it?
I don't really think about it.
Okay.
So, no.
Well. Anyway, rock producer Robert John Mutt. Lange? Langy?
Lang, I believe.
Lang? Mutt? Why would you call yourself Mutt?
Because you're a tosser?
Yeah, fair enough. So he heard her Twain's original songs and her original the debut album and offered to produce and write songs with her. She had a number of kind of telephone conversations. They met at Nashville's Fan Fair in June 1993. They became really close within a few weeks, and they actually got married the same year in December.
Yeah.
So met in June, married in December. That's pretty full on, isn't it? So they went on to write what would form her second studio album, which is called The Woman in Me, which was released in the spring of 1995.
The Woman in Me, I remember that one.
Album's first single, Whose Bed Have Your Boots Been Under? Went up to number 11 on the Billboard country chart. And
that's a tongue twister, isn't it?
What?
Whose bed have your boots been under? Whose boots have your bed been under?
What are you doing with your boots and why are they in the bed?
Why have you even got your boots on in the bedroom? You should have took them off downstairs before you got to
the bedroom. Yeah, that's a bit odd, isn't it? I mean, we are both in the top floor of your house with shoes on.
Yes, but I don't take pride in my house. That's not true.
Well, okay. It was followed by her first country top 10 and number one hit single, Any Man of Mine. Remember that?
No,
not me. Which also cracked the top 40 on the Billboard Hot 100. She had a number of other kind of singles from this album, which garnered her a number one in the country charts. But that was about it. The interesting, again, thing with this album is it was released in 1995. As of 2007, that album sold more than 12 million copies.
Jesus.
And then the year of release, it actually won a Grammy Award for the best country album. So it's interesting how it takes time. So I don't know whether or not that's just the country audience takes a bit of time to buy their albums, or it's just because of a ridiculous success in what would be the third album, which we're going to get to in a second.
Oh, I think that's what it is. I think it's retrospectively buying stuff because you go, oh, it's like with the Alanis Morissette thing, we were thinking about everyone thinks that's kind of her first album. But I'm sure after that one came out, you know, when you're that large,
yeah, you kind of go,
people just buy
doing?
Anything that's got a name on it.
Yeah.
So they'll reissue stuff or whatever, and it'll be, oh, this has now sold 12 million purely because the other one sold 400 million. You know, I think it's just going to trickle down, isn't it?
So in 1997, she released her third album, Come On Over.
Come On Over.
There you go.
I had this.
The first two singles, Love Gets Me Every Time and Don't Be Stupid, parentheses, You Know I Love You.
Don't Be Stupid. Do you remember it?
I don't remember that, no.
You were little. You were little.
Little Baba.
Yeah.
I'd have been eight.
God.
So that started increasing in sales. And then the song You're Still The One came out and it all fucking kicked off, basically. How many views this has got on YouTube?
I don't know, 4 billion.
Okay, well, now what you've done there is overestimated, which... 95,676,255.
For a 20-year-old ballad.
Plus the few that I watched.
So at least 5,000 then.
Now, maybe I'm a little bit of a sop, but pretty good song, that.
It's great.
It's pretty good, right?
The album's great, to be honest with you.
So on that album, there were 16 songs on that album, 12 of which were released as singles.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. That's mad.
I mean, that's a greatest hits album right there.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, it's mad. And they all did well, right?
They all did
well. They're
all
hits.
Yeah. So, I mean, the album stayed on the charts for the next 2 years, and it went on to sell 40 million copies worldwide. It was making it the biggest selling album of all time by a female musician, and it's also the eighth biggest selling album of any type of artist in the US. It won 4 Grammys off the back of it as well.
Amazing.
So, pretty big.
Yeah, top 10 of all time, isn't it?
So one of the songs that we're going to be discussing off the back of this is That Don't Impress Me Much, which we'll get to in a second. I've got loads of numbers here. So are you ready to hear the list of countries that this album was number one in?
Always a highlight for me.
Let's go. Australia, Belgium, Canada, Denmark. I've written this really weird.
Is it not in alphabetical order, pal?
Ireland, New Zealand, Norway, Scotland, UK, and the States.
Not bad.
Yeah, so it's pretty good going. Now, in terms of sales, this is where it gets fucking stupid, right? So I'm just gonna read these out. Now, countries have got their own definitions of sales. So when you say silver, gold, platinum, yeah, whatever.
Depends on the population.
When you just read this, it's ridiculously impressive. So I'll read the country and the certification that it's got. So Argentina, platinum. Australia, 18 times platinum. Belgium, 2 times platinum. Canada, 2 times diamond. Denmark, 2 times platinum. France, platinum. Netherlands, 5 times platinum. New Zealand, 21 times platinum. Norway, 6 times platinum. Spain, platinum. Sweden, 3 times platinum. Switzerland, 3 times platinum. United Kingdom, 11 times platinum. States, 2 times diamond. She sold a couple, hasn't she? She's done all right.
I mean, that's what? Put that together, that's 100-odd times platinum, probably, right? Because New Zealand alone was 21 times platinum.
Yeah.
And I know there's only about 4 people there, but still.
So how many... This would be an interesting one, actually. How many sales or units do you think 21 times platinum constitutes to in New Zealand?
Let me think.
Ooh, he's actually trying to figure out some maths.
21 times platinum. I reckon in New Zealand, platinum is 50,000 sales. Am I right?
No.
Is it way off?
21 times platinum constitutes 315,000 in New Zealand.
Right.
Whereas in Norway, 6 times platinum constitutes 300,000. Figure that out.
Yeah.
It sounds very impressive on paper. And when I give the list, it's like, that sounds fucking ridiculous. But actually, Belgium, 2 times platinum is 100,000.
It's still relative, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is relative. And it is
because
still
that's still a chunk. The reason it's platinum is that a certain chunk of the population have bought it. Yes, 50,000 sales in China would be pointless and crap.
Yeah.
But if you're getting...
The flip side of that is you get the States, which is 2 times diamond, which is 15.5 million.
Well, there you go.
So they'll do. So after the big success of that, she released a couple more albums. Again, there's so much fucking information online, we haven't got the time to go through it. She released an album called Up in 2002 and an album called Now in 2017, which is September just gone.
Yeah, so, I remember that coming out and I was like, oh, bloody hell, she's not a twat.
So she's only released 5 albums, but she's had that massive success, and I'd say most people know her name.
Oh, she's a household name, without a doubt.
Yeah, I'd go
and
for that.
And even if they don't, they know either this song or they know Man, I Feel Like a Woman.
Yeah.
You know, most of them even are Still the One or From This Moment or any of the other ballads on that record. And I think it's crazy that she went, what was it, 2002, that third album?
Yes. That was the fourth album was Up.
So she did 15 years without a record.
Yeah.
The fact that you can do that and not have to do anything else kind of says a lot about your career, right? Because she's actually had more time off now than she had an active career before that, which is just insane.
I didn't take much information as to the sales of That Don't Impress Me Much for the song that we're doing today, purely because it wasn't one of the best-selling ones, but in terms of, well, for the purpose of this podcast, the lyrics are just fucking stupid.
Yeah, and I think it's certainly a signature song.
I'd say so. That was the song that I always knew.
And that's the one that I saw first. I mean, I know it is maybe the 7th single from the record or something, but
I can't forget the leopard print.
No, and the video is iconic.
Yeah.
So I think it's... And with an album that big, by default, the single is going to be a massive hit anyway.
Yeah.
Purely, if it was these days, it would have been an Ed Sheeran. It would have been... All those songs would have been on the charts at the same time.
Mm.
That's the way that it would have worked.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you ready for some just completely random Shania facts?
Hit me.
In January 2005, Shania Twain joined Scent Stories by Febreze to create a limited edition scent disc, with the proceeds going to America's Second Harvest.
What's America's Second Harvest? Is that a charity?
Let's say yes.
Okay, good. You've looked then.
I've absolutely. I was more interested in the fact that Febreze went to Shania Twain and were like, "Oh, are you? Well, you can smell, can't you?"
Doesn't really impress me.
Do you know what?
Much.
Oh, God. I hope someone fucking laughed at that. Christ. Another little tidbit, which I found quite interesting. So
tidbit or titbit.
Whatever you want it to be, mate. I'm not going to show you a bit of Shania's tit. Those images.
Somebody must have.
Well,
because
one of these people might do.
Because it's tit in England, isn't it? And tid in America because they're prudes.
But is that true?
It's tit-bit here, isn't it?
I always thought it was tid-bit with a D.
But America changed it to tid.
Because they love the D. Moving on. On May 15th, 2008, a spokesperson for Mercury Nashville announced that Shania Twain and Lang were separating. After Lang allegedly had an affair with Twain's best friend, Marie and Thibault, whatever. So their divorce was finalised on June 9th, 2010. On December 20th, 2010, Twain's manager said that Twain was engaged to Frederick Thibault, the Swiss former husband of her former best friend, Marianne, who was an executive at Nestle, and they married on January 1st, 2011.
So that revenge dish didn't even have a chance to go cold.
No. So literally her husband went off with her best friend and she went,
cool, I'll have your husband then.
I'll have your husband. And literally they got divorced June 2010 and again married within 6 months in December.
Mad.
Yeah. My last fact, in 2009, Shania Twain was reported as having the perfect face. The BBC reported on a study led by the University of Toronto and the University of California, San Diego, which appeared in the journal Vision Research. Now, I've seen a few pictures. Hang on. That sounds dodgy already. What I was going to say is, in doing my research,
yeah.
Obviously, images...
That's the excuse everyone uses. I'm writing a book.
I was doing research. I might have put it on the incognito tab, but that you don't need to know about that. It's fine. She's got a nice face, is all I was going to say.
Yeah, she's pretty.
Yeah. So, the perfect face. So, that's all I've got. Anything you've got before we crack on with the lyrics?
No, I knew the big one about that basically every song that mattered was a single and did good. But like I say, it's almost, you know, if you have an album of that magnitude, I think almost anything you release is going to do okay.
Yeah.
Just by
default.
By virtue of being on the record. So, it's mad. And you don't see albums like that anymore. That's not Thriller. You know, it's up there with Thriller, isn't it, really, in terms of
success. What did I say, the 8th best-selling? Something ridiculous like that.
It's mad. It's very, very rare that you see that these days. So while we're about to rip the piss out of one of the songs, fair play, basically.
Yeah, well done. Have a cookie.
Yeah, I'm not impressed, though.
Cool. This is Shania Twain's... That don't impress me much. I've known a few guys who thought they were pretty smart, but you've got being right down to an art. You think you're a genius, you drive me up the wall. You're a regular original, a know-it-all.
I'll stop you there.
I think I know where we're going to start.
This upsets me generally because I think this maybe fueled the beginning of what I now deem the age of anti-intellectualism or the age of anti-education that we now live in. So she's basically just annoyed that he knows stuff. What's the problem with that? Oh, you got me. You're always right. Well, maybe if you cared
nerd.
More about your self-improvement and learning,
fucking
you'd
geek.
Be right more often. My issue with this is, why is it a problem that he's smart? Why is it a problem that his brain is so good that his smartness is almost an art form? That's not a bad thing. Why do you want someone who just a hat rack, just doesn't care about anything? Do you not want to be challenged?
Well, yeah, I'm not quite sure on it because the point that she's originally making is I've known a few guys who thought they were pretty smart, and the other thing she says is you think you're a genius, yet she actually says you've got being right down to an art. So if you've got right down to being an art, then you've got to be pretty clever.
You must
it's
be
not
right.
Just you think you're clever.
Yeah.
The other thing that I've got an issue with in particular on this line, which I'm surprised wasn't the first thing you dove at, you're a regular original.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I feel like that's the same thing.
Yeah, they basically just needed a...
Another syllables.
Yeah, and we talk about extraneous syllables quite a lot on this podcast. That's probably just another one of those.
Speaking of extraneous syllables... Ooh, you think you're special?
Yeah.
Ooh, you think you're something else. I probably think I'm... I think I'm special if the following line was, okay, so you're a rocket scientist.
Yeah, that's what I'm... That's
pretty special.
That's what I'm saying about this. Oh, we don't need experts. We don't need... Oh, he's a rocket scientist. Oh, you're such a know-it-all. I'm a fucking rocket scientist.
You still win.
So I think compared to you, I do know it all.
You're still going to do pretty well in Trivial Pursuit.
Unbelievable, right? I mean, I know it's a very specific thing, but I think if you're smart enough to be a rocket scientist, you probably have that capacity and passion for learning.
You can apply it to
maybe
Shania things.
Doesn't have. I think it stinks of jealousy, and quite frankly, it's disgusting.
That don't impress me much. So you've got the brains, but have you got the touch? Now, don't get me wrong. Yeah, I think you're all right. But that won't keep me warm in the middle of the night. That don't impress me much.
I ain't got a lot to say other than... I mean, he's a rocket scientist. You might want to lower your fucking expectations if that isn't good enough for you.
But has he got the touch, is the question.
I don't know. Apparently not.
Let's carry on. I never knew a guy who carried a mirror in his pocket and a comb up his sleeve just in case. And all that extra hold gel in your hair ought to lock it, because heaven forbid it should fall out of place.
Okay, I always struggle with this line because I never really knew what she said. I have since learned it. All that extra hold gel in your hair, or what is it, in your hair?
Ought to lock it.
Yeah, it's clumsy. But here's a question then, which has just occurred to me. Is this song all about one person, or is each verse, or each... section about a different lad?
I always presumed it was about a different person. However,
oh really? Okay.
Did you never think of it that
way? Because for me, and that's where the
because the video is different people.
I don't remember the video.
I think it is.
That's difficult then for me because I always thought a lot of
because
the...
if all of these things were one person,
yeah,
I'd be impressed.
That's where my problem is. It's like
when she gets someone who says you're Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt isn't a rocket scientist.
No, that's what I was saying.
There we go.
So that I've always thought there was a disparity between each verse, right. Going, well, this can't be the same person. Is she just batting off suitors left, right and centre? I'm assuming she probably was at the time. But
she has got a perfect face.
So you think it's different people every time?
I've always presumed it's a different person.
Okay, see, that's interesting.
Well, you know. Have you ever known a guy who carried a mirror in his pocket and a comb up his sleeve just in case?
I do know somebody who used to walk around with aftershave in his top pocket.
Oh, that's disgusting. In his top pocket? What, like a bottle of aftershave?
Yeah, and like it was only quite young. He was probably like 16, 17.
Even better.
I thought he was super suave.
Yeah.
So he'd always have a shirt on. And I remember, you know, like how in the 50s, the Thunderbirds from Greece would have a cigarette packet in their top pocket. His was, I don't know, Calvin Klein.
I was
going to
say, if he's 16,
Jupe.
He's not going to have like, yeah, it's going to be cheap. Like,
what do you mean? I wear Jupe.
Hey?
I wear Jupe. It's not cheap.
You want cheap? What's cheap?
I wear Jupe.
Jupe?
It's not cheap.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's cheap.
I thought you said cheap.
But it smells nice.
Not Jupe.
Yeah, and so this guy, like, and he would just walk around, and so every now and then, you just see him out and about.
Yeah, that's weird, that. I know a guy who has a glove box full of aftershave.
Does he sell it?
No.
Does he get into men's toilets?
He doesn't, but he has offered it. No, he hasn't. What's some of those lines? Go on. We all know him.
No splash, no gash.
No splash, no gash.
No,
that's fucking awful.
No spray, no lay.
That is so bad.
It's bad. There might be women
listening
to this.
Although I can't say I've ever challenged them and said, fuck off, you sexist prick.
Yeah, there might be women listening to this going, what are they talking about? So let's just quickly...
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Let's just quickly
explain. Very good point.
I don't know if any women listen to this.
No.
But
no, well.
In a club environment or sometimes even a pub of a weekend, you go into the loo and there's always a lad or a fella there with...
Which is weird.
Weird generally, because he's not
general,
in there using
like,
the
straight
toilet.
Away, that is odd.
You've been in three times. He's been there every time. So he's basically got an array of lollipops, every single aftershave scent eau de toilette you can think of, and a roll of blue roll.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always that's
yeah. And
weird.
So basically, and sometimes he'll have soap.
Is he employed by the bar or the pub?
I've got some knowledge about this.
Okay.
So this man is obviously...
While you're getting the knowledge, I'm literally looking online.
Like, I guess the old school kind of valet, butler sort of situation, but...
No Armani, no Punani.
No, yeah, that's one. So you finish having your wee in a cubicle or...
Wash your nuts
in
for
a urinal,
sluts.
Depending on the busyness of it. I have a problem with urinals generally, but anyway.
Oh, these are awful. No Davidoff, no sucking off. Jesus Christ.
I mean, that's not one. That is not one.
No aftershave, you go with Dave. What if Dave's a nice guy and you go that way? These are fucking terrible.
There's another one I think it's just the guy local to us, and I always see him in Home Bargains buying the aftershave of a Thursday afternoon. But he says, "Don't be shy, show me your willy." That's what he says. I don't know why.
That is odd.
Anyway, I was explaining what they are. So you have this man, I guess it's kind of a doorman, but he's not holding the door in for you. But you have your wee or your poo or whatever, and you go to the sink, and he'll offer you some soap. Now, you'd be wise not to take it and use the soap provided by the establishment, because as soon as you take soap off him, he then offers you the blue roll to dry your hand, even though there's a perfectly good Dyson Airblade on the wall,
hygienic. Why would you not? Yeah.
But as soon as you go, I'll have some of your soap, you've got to pay the guy. Hmm. And so he washes your hands for you, he dries your hands for you, then he offers you a lolly. Don't know why. Seems a bit sinister, but I always have a Chupa Chups anyway. And then...
Hang on. You use these guys?
Oh, yeah, because I have this thing of... Like, he's offered it to me. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm going to have to do it now. And you have to go all the way.
No.
You can't go, thanks for drying my hands, which is a really demeaning thing to do.
What you do is you wash your hands and you just go, no, tar. I'll use the Dyson.
I'm very English, and he's an entrepreneur, isn't he? You've got to support local businesses.
So then
he gives you your lollipop, and then he goes, "What would you like?" And I'm like,
"What? Where's he from?"
It could be from any number of places.
Okay,
I'm talking about a very specific one that I see quite often.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
He's like, "What would you like?" And I'm like, "Oh, I'd like to go home and lie down in the dark room." What are you referring to? He's obviously referring to his array of scents. And I'll go, I'll have some jupe.
Hang on. Now, at this point, are you already wearing jupe? Because you've said earlier that you
probably.
Wear jupe. So you've gone out.
I'm
and
not going to mix.
Yeah, but that's my point, though. You've gone out for a nice night and you think, oh, okay, I'll chuck some it on. Mine is Jean-Paul Gaultier by choice.
Okay.
But... You've had a bit of a spray, and you go back out and you think, well, no spray, no lay, and you're just going to go with what you're already wearing anyway.
Yes, but it's a top up, isn't it? I'm not like my previous mate. I don't take it out with me in my top pocket. When I said I know something, it wasn't me.
You. Right,
So, and then at that point, you've had your hands washed by him, you've had your hands dried by him, he's giving you a Chupa Chups. And then you go, oh, I'll just have a spray. And he always sprays your crotch. I don't know if you've noticed that.
I've never used these gentlemen.
Okay, he's always. And then. You have to give him money. And I remember
that's odd.
Yeah, there's like a tray of money there. And then on one occasion, because part of me is fully resenting this. Part of me is resenting myself for going along with it. Secondly, I'm like, it's not a transaction I decided to initiate. No. Like, I didn't walk into the shop going, can I have some jupe? Like, he's just in there, like, watching me wee. And then I have to give the guy money. And there was one occasion where I had no change. And literally, I went, sorry, mate, I've got no change. I didn't realise. I went, that'll do. Looked at the tenner in my hand. I went, I'm not paying you a tenner for a lollipop and a spray of jupe. You're going to have to do a lot more than that, pal.
Get back in that cubicle.
Yeah. And that's the situation. So that's the explanation that I'm talking about.
So what happened at the end of this transaction? Did he take the tenner in the end, or did he just walk out after you ripped him off?
I gave him the money.
The tenner?
Yeah.
Right.
And then I went outside and went...
What? You didn't... Oh...
I went out to the crew that
just
I was
when
with.
I thought I couldn't lose any more respect.
I went out to the crew that I was with and I went, I've just paid a tenner for a spray of jupe. Could have bought half a week's worth of socks for this.
Oh God, that's ridiculous.
So that happened.
One of my favourite things of the last podcast is you bleeped it out. So what you're saying is you walked out and your friends all called you a and you decided to move on with the
night. Bomb, mate,
finish wiping your bum. It's a pound for some gum.
Yeah.
Back to Shania Twain. Fucking hell. Ooh, you think you're something special? Ooh, you think you're something else? You ready for chorus two? Okay. So you're Brad Pitt. That don't impress me much. So you've got the looks, but have you got the touch? Now, don't get me wrong. Yeah, I think you're all right, but that won't keep me warm in the middle of the night. That don't impress me much. So she is all about the touch.
Yeah. I mean, she's not, I guess she's not shallow. I mean, she don't want a rocket scientist because that's too smart.
Could be. He hasn't got the touch yet.
And I'm
she
guessing.
She doesn't want Brad Pitt.
She doesn't want Brad Pitt.
Because he hasn't got the touch.
Which dates the thing because I think if you asked an 18-year-old girl now, oh, who's, you know, who's your number one?
Yeah, Brad Pitt's a bit of an old man.
Kind of man crush. Who's your number one celebrity? I don't think Brad Pitt would be in there anymore.
No. And Ollie Edkins doesn't scan very well in this song.
So you're Ollie Edkins. Well, that wouldn't impress
that
her.
That
wouldn't impress her at all, would it?
Okay, well, fine, you know. So she's all about the touch, though. So if it was... What if she's... let's say she was talking to Ron Jeremy, because he's had a lot of touching. Would he have the touch?
Right. So you're
Ron Jeremy.
Hung. That don't impress me. Much. So you got the dong, but have you got the touch?
Oh, okay, well, you know.
You got the tosh, but have you got the touch?
So she goes off a bit now. So we've gone from a rocket scientist to Brad Pitt. Let's just carry on. You're one of those guys who likes to shine his machine. You make me take off my shoes before you let me get in. I can't believe you kiss your car goodnight. Come on, baby. Tell me, you must be joking, right?
Yeah, so can I relay? Do you remember what a mondegreen is?
A mondegreen?
We've spoken about it on this podcast.
Oh, I don't often listen to what you're talking about.
So a mondegreen is a misheard lyric.
Ah, yes.
Basically. So you have Kiss the Sky by Jimi Hendrix. Sounds like, wait a minute while I kiss this guy.
Well, yeah, and my brother, if you remember from the pilot, which, I don't know, we sent the pilot out to a few people. Yeah. Maybe it's the same people that heard this thing, but I'm going to reference it again anyway.
Pilot, I haven't listened to anything else.
Well, here we go. So, you know, It Only Takes a Minute, Girl, by Take That.
Yeah.
Can you remember? Yeah. My brother misheard that for years as It Only Takes Some Vinegar. Which is fucking so stupid. It only takes some vinegar.
And what I love about these kind of things is, like, a mondegreen is supposed to also make sense, like, generally. But if you, like...
It only takes some vinegar, it doesn't make much sense.
If you were heard It Only Takes a Minute, Girl, and thought it was vinegar, surely you would go, hold on, it ain't going to be vinegar, is it?
I mean, he was pretty young.
I'll hear something else. But anyway, to get to my point, for years, and I still do hear it, but I swore that she says, I can't believe you kiss your cock at night.
God. We're back to Ron Jeremy.
And if you listen to it, I can't believe you kiss your cock at night. That's how she says it.
Yeah.
She says cock at night without a shadow of a doubt. But it's car good night, and
car
I know that
good
now.
Night.
It's wrong, isn't it?
Ooh, you think you're something special. Ooh, you think you're something else. Now, she wasn't impressed by a rocket scientist. She wasn't impressed by Brad Pitt. Mm. Okay, so you've got a car.
Yeah, it's kind of demeaning it.
That don't
bit.
Impress me much.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you're the kind of guy who likes to shine his machine. Which, I mean, that
I feel
if
like
that's not a euphemism,
there's
I don't
double
know
entendres all over this.
And I think that's why it was. I thought cock at night because maybe she's like, we'll imply it a little bit, and then we'll just explicitly come out and say cock. But
it's a nod and a wink.
Yeah,
knob joke.
He likes to shine his machine. Oh. He don't mind the odd armshank. He loves wanking. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Like, the one guy who doesn't get that everyone's joking.
That's what she meant.
Oh, just want to go for a roll on the hay.
What do you mean?
But I wouldn't mind a fuck. Do you know what I mean? It's like, just the guy who don't get it. you know, but this whole, like, the car culture thing, it's a very American. Oh, has he got a car? It's summer nights in it, but in Greece. Oh, yeah, but does he have a car? So it used to be like an impressive thing, but now, I mean, you can just go buy a car.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really mean a lot. So I kind of agree with her on this verse. Yeah. Yeah, it's not that impressive. But when you compare it to looking like Brad Pitt and having the brain of a rocket
scientist.
She's
gone the wrong way, isn't she?
Yeah.
She should build up.
Because if she said that to me, it's like, oh, has you got a car? That didn't impress me much. I go, well, yeah, it's not meant to. It's just, you know.
It just gets me from A to B.
Yeah, it just gets me around. Yeah. In a lot. What do you want?
Okay, so you've got a car. That don't impress me much. So you've got the moves, but have you got the touch?
I would argue that the moves are important and as important as, and maybe even part of the touch.
Mirror signal maneuver.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. Yeah, I think you're all right, but that won't keep you warm in the middle of the night. That don't impress me much. You think you're cool, but have you got the touch? Now. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I think you're all right, but that won't keep me warm on a long, cold, lonely night. That don't impress me much.
Considering she's moaning about having these long, cold, lonely nights, you're being very picky.
Yeah.
You deserve to be cold and lonely, love, because all of these things are, you know, whilst maybe not the exact things you want, they're no reason to kick someone to the curb, are they?
I would be interested to see if you think these are particularly impressive people as we go through for the outro and the end. So there's two outros on this. There's an outro, and there's also a greatest hits outro.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I'll do the outro, which is, okay, so what do you think? You're Elvis or something? Whatever. That don't impress me. That's the standard outro.
I mean, literally.
Elvis is pretty impressive.
There is no impressing her, is there? What
am I going to do? Just because you're walking around with your perfect face...
I am actually Elvis and Brad Pitt.
To be fair, if you saw a perfect face in the mirror every single day, every single other person is never going to impress you.
Fair enough. Yeah.
On the greatest hits outro, no, all right, you're Tarzan, Captain Kirk maybe, John Wayne, whatever, that don't impress me much.
John Wayne was... quite famously a massive racist.
Oh.
So that's not very impressive.
That was news to me.
Tarzan is fictional.
True.
As is Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
Out of the three, I'd rather be him, but none of those
Kirk over Tarzan or John Wayne.
None of those strike me as very overtly impressive figures. Tarzan was brought up by, you know, monkeys.
Apes. Yeah.
So probably hasn't got the touch either. Really?
That is what she's after, isn't it?
Yeah, so that is what she's after.
Would Elvis have... Elvis, Tarzan, Captain Kirk or John Wayne, would any of those have the touch?
Out of any of them, I'd say Elvis has probably got the closest to the touch that she's after. But she's already not impressed by Elvis, so where can she go from here?
What are you going to do? If all else fails, you can always touch yourself. Yeah. And with that, we'll close.
With your... perfect face.
With your perfect face.
Look at your perfect face.
Look at your perfect face in the mirror.
See if you have got the touch.
Touch and...
No one else fucking has.
Never mind. You're good to go.
It's rubbish, isn't it? There's not even like a... Is that it?
That's it. How do you feel about that? Do you like that?
No. It's rubbish.
Okay.
And it's... I mean, it's... it's short, which is a blessing, I suppose. But it's just... Oh, it's crap, isn't it? It's crap.
Well, there we go. And that's the end of it. So you've been listening to Ollie and Elliot Wax Lyrical. We should probably do all those things that we normally do. Where are you on Twitter?
Elliot M. Vaughan.
I'm at Ollie Edkins, and you can follow us on at Wax Lyrical Pod. You can subscribe on iTunes, which is probably what you're listening to this on now, because I keep forgetting to put it on other places other than iTunes. Eventually, this year it will come. It's on the website as well, which is waxlyricalpod.com. You can tell all your friends about it. Give us some nice reviews. I guess the only other thing to say is thanks for listening so far.
Yeah, thank
it's
you
a new
for a
year.
Nice, enjoyable 2017. So.
Thanks for coming back after we've had a couple of weeks off. We apologise. We're going to do some more coming up soon, including next week. Are you ready to know what we're listening to next week or what we're dissecting? Even though you already know it, let's pretend you don't for the sake of the podcast.
I can't wait to find out. What are we doing, Ollie?
We are doing Bootylicious by Destiny's Child.
Ace.
Let's do it. Anything else to add?
No.
Ta-da.
See ya.
Okay, so you're a couple of podcasters. That don't impress me much. So you've got the words, but have you got the touch? Don't get me wrong, yeah, I think you're all right. That won't keep me warm in the middle of the night. That don't impress me much. Say something and you